We be live. Hello, everybody. Okay, I missed you guys. I'm glad I'm back here. I'm here with Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Armin. And hi, everyone.
Yay. Oh, look, people are saying hi in the live chat. Hello, Atheist Damien. Zaid is watching from Jordan. Space Leah is watching from Sweden. Dean is watching from Ireland. And Anna is watching from Israel, which is still in the war, right?
The war between Hamas and Israel is still ongoing, and they still sometimes fire rockets on Israeli cities. So in case there is a siren, I must go immediately to safety, and I will just go and run without telling anything, okay?
Right. Thank you. Thank you for telling us that. Gajian American is saying, what happened to the news? Well, the news has been rescheduled because Christmas happened to the news, right? So, So I was away for Christmas and my birthday, which is more important, by the way. And Susie was away for Christmas with her family as well. And that's why the news got moved. That's what happened. But we are doing the news with Susanna soon. From South Africa. I can't pronounce that name. I'm sorry. But thank you for watching from South Africa. And yes, we be live. Exactly. Okay, so shalom. Okay, I'm not going to keep reading all the super chats, but yeah, these are all of them. Yes. Okay, so let's get to the news. We have Ali Dava here with another amazingly stupid take, which is great because it is stupid, but it's also common. There are hundreds of thousands of his followers that agree with him and millions more than that agree with him. Again, we play these things for you here, and a lot of you think, like, Armin, why do you go find this dumbest takes on the internet and show it to us? And I tell you, it's because it's not uncommon. These are the most widely accepted views. I'm not doing a straw man here. I'm not going out and finding something ridiculous that only a few people believe. Ali Dava is not just the problem. He's a representative of a much larger idiotic take on many things, on Islam, on Israel-Palestine conflict. So he is an excuse for us to try to learn what this disease of Islam is and how it makes people think. And also, beyond Islam, it also has rotten people's mind who are not even Muslim. And we have to deal with this virus. So to deal with the virus, we have to understand it. So we play it here with you guys, and we analyze it, we dissect it, and we try to understand how these people, I would say, think, but you know, and why they say the things they are, so that we could fight the spread of this disease more efficiently. We are at a time in history where liberal ideas need defending, and to be able to defend liberal ideas, we have to understand they are ideological enemies, which Ali Dava here represents right now. Let me see what people... Anna, do you have anything to say about Ali Dava and how amazing his takes are?
Well, we also watch his videos because he's one of the biggest channels, Islamic channels, right, on YouTube in English. So he has like a million followers. It means like a lot of people are following him and agreeing with his takes.
Yes. When it comes to Islamic channels in English, he's one of the biggest one, maybe possibly the biggest one. I mean, yeah, close up there. When it comes to watch hours, Ali Dava and Muhammad Hijab are the top two. I think Ali Dava is even more. So, which is the dumber they get, the bigger the followers get, which is amazing. Usually it's supposed to be the opposite. Let's watch what he has to say here.
Irish had the entire island.
Okay, do you guys have the audio?
Irish had the entire island to themselves, but the British were starting an empire, and well, the Irish lost their tips. But eventually, everybody comes to an accommodation, except the Palestinians.
Are you a flipping clown? Are you stupid? Are you idiotic?
By the way, this is the level of analysis that we're going to get most of the time, because Ali Dava thinks it's very amazing and intelligent when he just like comes up with attacks you personally, and his audience just loves that. So he just plays something that is just obviously wrong to them, and then he just insults the person who's saying that, and his audience freaking loves that for some reason. I don't know why.
Defend against a rapid.
So this is just an ad.
Spread of mycoplasma pneumonia, aka white lung disease, using black resins, Silajet.
That's just the ad in front of his videos. We're gonna go through this and then get to the actual.
Packed with immune boosting properties, Silajet has been scientifically proven to promote respiratory health, aiding in oxygen absorption while also making the body infection resistant. Strengthen your family's immune system ahead of the new outbreak this winter. Get your Silajet today. Links in the description box below.
You know, you would think that at the beginning of his video, if he wants to put an ad or something, he would do some, you know, I mean, they believe that these charities for people in Gaza, they actually work, which they, by the way, a lot of them don't. A lot of them go support Hamas instead of people in Gaza. But you would think for an, if I was somebody who actually believed the charity, that the people in Gaza, which actually right now do need help, but if I was somebody that believed that these charities would alleviate their pains, I would probably, for a video that it's about Israel and Palestine, I would probably pick a charity that would help them. Wouldn't you, Anna? Wouldn't you pick that instead of, you know, for this video? It's kind of tasteless to put, you know, to put this in front of a video like that. I don't know.
I also don't know why he picked it, this advertisement. I mean, it's clearly misinformation, because nothing can make you immune to infection or immune to diseases. Yeah. Nothing, absolutely nothing. There is no such thing. So, right. And anyways, I don't really know even what is it advertising. Like, I don't know this substance, but whatever it is just misleading, extremely misleading.
Right. D is saying, sup guys, like the stream. Yes, guys, please make sure you like the stream before you continue watching. It takes a half a second and it really helps us grow the channel. So make sure you like the stream right now. So let's go continue with Ali Dabo and what he has to say.
Alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters and dear friends. We're going to be reacting to an absolute shameless liar, an individual who has double standards and hypocrisy, who doesn't value the lives of Palestinians, or Muslims for that matter.
This is such a... Why do they keep saying that? Is it a chance that we might disagree? Let's say Ali Dabo and Mohammed Hijab is correct. These people are correct. And our takes on the whole Israel-Palestine conflict is wrong. Why is it not possible for us to just be wrong? How do you know we don't care about the Palestinians? How do you know that? Let's, even if you guys are right and we are wrong, maybe we just came to the wrong conclusion and you guys are correct for some other reason. Why do you, Anna, why do these people think that we actually genuinely don't care about the suffering of Palestinian people? I mean, do you care, Anna? Do you care about the suffering of Palestinian people?
Of course. I think, war is terrible and a lot of Palestinians died, of course. And I wish that Hamas wouldn't use them as human shields and less would die.
Yeah, we can't. So it's just so it's so easy for me personally to know that these people are full of crap, because I know more. I know at least one thing. I know that we care. If there's one thing that I'm aware of is our actual motivations, but these people keep making these accusations as if they, I mean, even Islamically, they're not supposed to say that. When it comes to a person's true intention, Islamically, you're supposed to say Allahu Alam, which means God only knows. God knows. You're not supposed to act like you're aware of the unknown, which is an internal motivation of another individual. So you're even failing at Islam, Ali Dabo. Come to me, I will teach you proper Islam. You don't understand that you cannot come and actually say, claim to know the genuine motivations. Maybe Bill Maher is stupid. Maybe you're correct, and he's an idiot, and he got the conclusion wrong. But you don't know if he genuinely doesn't care about Palestinian people. You don't know that. You cannot claim that. Even Islamically, you can't claim that. Jesus Christ. Come to me, guys. come to Mufti Armin, okay? Ayatollah Armin or Mufti Armin, depending on whether you're not whether you're a Sunni or a Shia, I will teach you Islam. You're even failing at it. You're the biggest Islamic YouTube channel. You are even failing at Islam. Come to me as an atheist. I will teach you proper Islam.
Here's a video of Bill Maher, whatever his name is. I would like to call him a
pusillanimous. Bill Maher? What the hell?
I would like to call him a pusillanimous, which befits him better. Let's react to this coward's statement. Let's see what he has to say. You know, let's see what he has to offer us.
Irish had the entire island to themselves, but the British were starting an empire and, well, the Irish lost their tip. They blew each other up over it for 30 years, but eventually everybody comes to an accommodation, except the Palestinians. Things change. Countries, boundaries, empires. History is brutal, and humans are not good people. History's sad and full of wrongs, but you can't make them unhappen because a paraglider isn't a time machine. People get moved, and yes.
Yeah, but guys, I think people, Bill's sound is too low. I get that. Should I? The problem is that he made it that way. So we're dealing with low audio because of Ali Dawa. I can do something about it. I can play the video directly instead of sharing the stream. Hold on, let me see if I could do this. Do you guys want me to share the stream in a different way so that we get better volume? Is that a good idea? Hold on, let me try to see if I could do that. Yes. I know how to do this in a way that will get us better volume. Give me a second, entire screen. Share and I. All right.
Had the
what the minute were we on?
See what he
is. This better volume, guys. Here
he has to offer whatever his name is. I would like to call him a pusillanimous, which befits him better. Let's react to this coward's statement. Let's see what he has to say. You know, let's see what he has to offer us.
Irish had the entire island to themselves, but the British were starting an empire and, well, the Irish lost their tip. They blew each other up over it for 30 years, but eventually everybody comes to an accommodation, except the Palestinians. Things change. Countries, boundaries, empires. History is brutal, and humans are not good people. History's sad and full of wrongs, but you can't make them unhappen because a paraglider isn't a time machine. People get moved, and yes, colonize.
So Bill Maher's point here is that you cannot treat history as your own personal scoreboard. You know, this is a collectivist mindset. You think that you know, previously throughout history, something happened and it was unfair and you have to undo it. At some point, you have to accept the way things are and you have to look at how to move forward regardless of what happened before. You can't look at what happened before and think that there is no way moving forward unless you settle the scores and make things fair based on what happened in history. You have to look at the situation that you have on the ground. You have to accept realities. You have to accept things as they are and try to come up with the solution that will make things better off for most people based on how things are right now, not based on what happened before. What happened to your grandparents or your parents or previous generations, that's over. That's done. Now we're talking about you and your situation and the decisions that could make your situation and your children's situation and the next generations better, regardless of what happened in history. Because if you want to settle scores, this is like an endless loop that will go on forever and ever and ever. At some point, you're like, you have to cut that. You have to be like, okay, I'm done with looking back. I'm done with looking back in history and figuring out how to settle previous scores. I have to look forward. I have to decide what's the best path forward. That's what Bill Maher is saying. This is what every other country, every other people have eventually decided to do moving forward. I mean, look at the Japanese for crying out loud, right? The United States dropped two atomic bombs on them. Now they're United States' best ally. Look at Germany. It was crushed in World War II. Now another United States, one of the best allies of the United States right now, even though they were crushed and defeated by the United States, right? I mean, look at why are we going so far? Look at Arab countries. Look at all the Arab countries that decided to have peace with Israel. I mean, starting with Egypt and then with Jordan. You know, they are semi-normal countries. I mean, not completely normal countries, but better off than Palestine right now, right? They, at some point, they realize, yeah, this doesn't make sense. You know, trying to crush and defeat Israel, it's not going to happen. Keep crying about, like, things that you find unfair in history. I mean, if that's how you are going to move forward, then guess what? There's so many people that want their countries back. They want their land back from the Islamic Empire. How ridiculous it is for people to come back and say, like, yeah, we didn't like the Islamic Empire taking our lands. We want it back. That's idiotic. We moved past that. You have to think about how you could improve things going forward. You're not going to be able to, like, there are, by the way, there are still people out there that want revenge from Arabs, and that's ridiculous as well because of what happened 1400 years ago. That's idiotic. It's in the past. It's done. It's over with. Go on, Anna. You wanted to say something?
But this is the logic of Ali Dawa. If he says that Israel is a colonizer and that it used to be always a Muslim land, then you can say the same about Constantinople, about Istanbul, yeah. That it was Constantinople and it was always Byzantine for 1,000 years and Byzantines built it. And now it should be returned to the Byzantines, like to the Romans.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is what
about every single corner that the Islam conquered in the world, including North Africa and Iraq, that it was conquered from the Sassanid Empire. You can say it about every single corner that is Muslim in the world, that it was conquered from someone, except for like Saudi Arabia, where it originated.
Yes, exactly. Based on this logic, all the Arabs should go live in Saudi Arabia. They should live. There are 22 Arab countries right now, and they should all evacuate, and they all should go back to Saudi Arabia right now. They should all be just shove them in Saudi Arabia, according to this logic. And by the way, ZoomX is making a good point in the live chat. Like America, right? Everybody, all the citizens of the United States need to leave the United States and just give that entirety of that land to the natives. Same with Canada, based on these arguments, which is insane. It's insane. Nobody should take this seriously.
Use this idiot. This guy is an absolute idiot.
Oh, and also, by the way, Australia and New Zealand.
Happen because a paraglider isn't a time machine. People get moved and
house. And before I come, use this idiot. This guy is an absolute idiotic individual. Let's use his arguments. So imagine, Bill, I come to your house, and before I come and say, and you open the door, and you say, what do you guys want? And we're with guns and weapons. I'm like, listen, bad things happen in life. There are evil people like me and my friends, and they come and take over other people's houses, and they kidnap your children, and then they shoot your wife, and they put you in the basement, and they tell you you can live there, and we'll serve you dog food. These kind of things happen in life, Bill. There's bad people. There's evil things that happen. So you don't need to fight. There's no point fighting. Why are you going to fight and resist for? No. Just accept your fate. Accept it. So we're going to come in now. My men behind me are going to kidnap your son.
Thank you.
Take away your daughter. Kill your wife. And we're going to take you as a captive. And you're going to live in the basement with the dogs. Yes. That's because we care about you. But don't you dare fight, resist, be upset about it, talk against it. Embrace it, fully embrace it.
Okay, so he says Bill Maher is an idiot, but he doesn't even understand what Bill Maher is saying. He's such a fool, and he doesn't even understand what is being said here. And the amazing thing is, I checked the comment section, his audience doesn't even understand that. But go on, Anna, you educate him, and then I will say what he's getting so wrong.
Well, he is trying to say that Israel it took the homes from Gazians, from the Palestinians, and therefore the Palestinians are resisting this occupying force. This is what he says. But he uses the actions that Hamas did, which is killing and kidnapping on the 7th of October, to make his argument clear, when in fact he's justifying like the Israeli self-defense. He said, if these bad people come to your house, then you can self-defense. And this is exactly what Hamas did on the 7th of October. They kidnapped and killed. Right. So he justifies the self-defense of Palestinians, but not the self-defense of Israelis? Isn't it hypocritical, at least?
Yes, yes. But here's the thing, Anna. I think let's just give it to him, right? That, for the sake of argument, that let's say it was unjustified for Israel to be created, okay? It was an act of occupation and colonization. Let's just assume that is correct, okay? Let's say the Arabs, the people who were fighting in, 1948, they were justified to try to stop Israel from being created. And also in 1967, it was all justified. This was their land and it was being taken away by force from them. Again, I don't agree with any of this, but let's just assume that is justified, okay? But here's what what actually happened doesn't fit his analogy, because he's saying, imagine if somebody came to you and took away your house and then, shoved you in the basement and gave you dog food and told you to live like that. The reason why that doesn't match, even if, it was unjustified to create Israel and it was unjustified, the way that they did it was brutal and it was an act of colonization and it was occupying force and stuff. He's comparing something that happened before to other people and to a form of resistance to something that is happening to you right now. Because what is happening right now to people in Gaza, it's not in response to somebody taking away your home, right? Because that was something that happened before and it's over with and done. And now we have new realities. This is what is happening in Gaza. It's a response to an attack on a country given new realities. Right. So you're saying, like, imagine if somebody took your home. No, that's not a fair comparison. If you want to make a more accurate analogy, you have to say, imagine if your father took away the house of my father. Right. And now my father became homeless. And now you are, as a child, have a home. And me, as a child of this homeless person, don't have a home. And now I'm attacking you. Even though you didn't take my house, your father took my house. Your father didn't take my house, your father took my father's house. But I'm personally coming attacking you and your family, even though you had nothing to do with it. It was somebody else that did something evil. See, this is the problem. I want you people to understand that what Ali Dava is doing is a collectivist mindset. He's associating something that happened before to people who are living there today, to people who are being born in Israel today, right? Because of their collective belonging to a group of people, whether that's Jewish or Israeli, I don't care, right? I don't want to argue over which one it is right now. But it's associating blame, giving it's guilt by association. This is a new reality. You have to let go of the past, because if you don't let go of the past, the guilt of your ancestors, Ali Davo, will now be applying to you. And I don't think you want to go there. I don't think what you want to go there. If you want to do guilt by association, the guilt of the people that you associate with throughout history far outweighs what you're trying to associate with Israelis or Jewish people. That is not a game that you're going to win when it comes to colonization, when it comes to occupation, when it comes to taking land by force. Everything will work against you if you want to do guilt by association. Go on, Anna, you want to say something?
Yeah, I mean, by his logic, okay, then the Berbers in North Africa, they should terrorize the Arabs. They should bring back their land. They are the natives in this area. No, nobody disputes that they are the natives. So by this logic, Islamic lands will actually lose the entire Morocco and Algeria and North Africa. So like he is using here a logic that is only applicable for some reason to the Palestinians, but not to himself. I want to ask you why doesn't he talk about it that Islam and Arabs, they conquered nearly all the land that they own now? And like one here wrote in the live in the comments that Iran has been a Muslim country for a millennia now, but in the last few decades atheist has been doing their best to change it. No, Iran was in Sassanid Empire, okay, it was Zoroastrian before Islam, and they conquered it in the 7th century. It wasn't always Muslim.
Yeah, but it has been Muslim for the past 1,000 years, that's correct.
Yeah, but I mean...
1,400 years ago, yes.
By this logic, you can trace back as far as you want, and you can trace even before Islam. Like, what is stopping you?
I think what should happen, Anna, I think Israel should wage war on Italy, okay? Because of the Romans who destroyed the temple, right? And I think that's what should happen, right? I mean, Ali Dawa is telling you that it makes no sense. I mean, the Romans came to Jerusalem. They destroyed the temple. What are you supposed to do? Are Jewish people just supposed to forget about that? Are Jewish people supposed to be like they came to your house and took away your land and now you should just accept the reality? I think, you know, the Jews should go and now destroy the Vatican. That's what they should do. They should go just in the same way that the Romans came and destroyed the Jewish temples. I think the Jews now just need to settle scores and invade Rome and maybe just destroy the Vatican. I think that would be a fitting response right now based on Ali Dawa's standards. Again, he doesn't understand how his analogy doesn't work. He just clearly, he missed the entire point of Bill Maher. Bill Maher's entire point was the things that happened in the past are separate from what's happening to us today. And Ali Dawa, in his example, trying to refute Bill Maher, gave an analogy that is talking about an individual's present experience. That's how much he didn't understand what Bill Maher is saying. It's like, oh, Bill Maher is such an idiot. Let me give you an example. What if somebody came and took my house? Am I not supposed to resist that? Ali Dawa, that is about present experiences. It's about you in the present, somebody coming, taking your house right now. Do you not understand that it completely defeats the purpose of what Bill Maher is trying to say? Your analogy does not fit at all the situation here. I've heard some people who are anti-Israel respond to this. They're like, no, but this is happening right now as well. No, what's happening right now is not an act of occupation or colonization. What is happening right now is an act of response to an aggression by Hamas. If there was an occupation and colonization, that was, I don't know, maybe 1948, which is not, I don't think that's a fair description of what happened then, but that was then. Okay? If right now, here's a good example. If right now a native in the United States goes and picks up a gun and starts shooting people that of European descent, and then the police comes and arrests the guy, you wouldn't see that act of arresting that native person, okay, a continuation of colonization and occupation, right? That would be an act of response to an act of terror. You would be like, no, okay, no, it was his land, and now he's resisting it, so what do you think he's supposed to do? Is he supposed to accept the fact that he was colonized before? Yes, because that happened to his ancestors. It didn't happen to him. Are you serious? Do you understand that this line of thinking, Ali Dawa, means endless war? It means endless war. This line of collective way of judging people means war forever. Your way of thinking means forever war. Oh my God. It's so stupid. By the way, go on.
I just want to make it clear, like, I don't agree with the statements that Israel is an illegal occupation. Like, I live in a city that was purchased in the late 19th century. I don't understand how you can call it occupation. There was nothing here before it was purchased. And the Arabs, they sold it without any, like, regrets.
But that's not the point. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. Like, honestly, that's history, okay? I mean, it's fun sometimes to discuss that because their understanding of history is so flawed. But it doesn't matter. Even if Jewish people came and they just came to this land and they just took the land and they butchered everybody, okay? They just butchered everybody and took it by force, right? Which is not what happened. But let's say it did. It's irrelevant. We have new realities at the ground, and what we have to deal with is how we make things better going forward. Israel is not going away, okay? You're not going to defeat Israel. This is based on the current law, international law, it's a legal country. It exists, and it's legal. And you're not going to be able to you tried, okay? Again, not you. I'm saying you tried because I don't want to act collectively, but I'm speaking with Ali Dava's mindset, okay? Because those people were different people from people today. But if we were talking collectively like Ali Dava, it would be you tried and you lost. You tried again and you lost again. At some point, you have to understand that Israel is going to be here, okay? Egypt understood that and they made a peace deal and they're better off because of it. Jordan understood that, and they made a peace deal, and they're better off because of it. And guess now, who else is joining the club? The UAE, Bahrain, Saudi Arabia, Sudan, because they understand reality. At some point, you have to understand that you're not going to be able to. This is a dream that is not going to come true. The elimination of Israel, it's not going to happen, okay? Just maybe deal with if you actually wish the best for Palestinians, which you don't, you admitted it. Again, I'm not acting like Ali Dava, like as if I know what's going on in people's minds. They admitted it. They admit that they want the suffering of Palestinian people, that their death is a great thing because martyrdom is martyrdom. But they will win regardless of what happens to them, and their suffering is something holy to celebrate. That's what they have already admitted. But if you genuinely cared about the Palestinian people, you will accept Israel as a reality. You will accept the fact that, you know, the Jews are going to be there, and you would stop supporting organizations like Hamas, which are selling Palestinians a dream that is not coming true. You know why this war is going to continue? The war between Israel and Hamas, again, not Israel and Palestine, but Israel and Hamas is going to continue because Hamas and people like Ali Dava and Mohammed Hijab and many other organizations and the Islamic Republic of Iran, especially the Islamic Republic of Iran, have interest in selling the idea to the Palestinians that there is victory at the end of this war. And unfortunately, many Palestinians have believed this. You know, the Egyptians realized that there's no victory at the end of this war. By the way, there are some super chats I'm going to read at the end of this rant. They realized that there's no victory here, right? So, and many other people realize that there's no victory here. That's why they gave up. That's why they gave up on fighting Israel. Because Israel, and again, for people who say that the only way we need peace, Israel should stop fighting to bring peace. Well, previously, Israel has brought peace by fighting, okay? The only reason why Israel managed to bring peace with other countries is by defeating its enemies. So historically, crushing your enemies brought about peace deals. So maybe based on what has worked in history, you know, this is an actual proper use of history. Trying to settle scores is not a good use of history. You're looking at history and see what works, that's a good use of history. And Israel has had the experience of crushing your enemies, maybe eventually gets them to accept peace deals. And that's why Israel maybe with good reason thinks that it should not stop fighting right now, because if you stop fighting, if you give in to your enemies, they think that, okay, continuing war works. If you crush them, at some point they will give up. unfortunately, there's a huge cost associated with it, and there's a lot of civilian casualties, but the people on the other side at some point have to be convinced that continuing to fight is not going to produce the results that you're hoping for. Here's the reason why we have continued to have war between Israel and Hamas. The people of Israel are convinced that fighting will bring them victory. And the people in Palestine, a lot of people in Palestine, are also convinced that fighting will bring them victory. If the people on both sides believe that fighting will bring them victory, guess what? We will have fighting. And between these two groups of people, one of them is wrong, right? I mean, both of them are wrong, or one of them is wrong. But I will bet you that if one of them is wrong, who do you think is wrong? The Palestinian people, who think that the way out of this misery is for them to fight Israel, obviously they're wrong. And the only way for them to be convinced eventually, unfortunately, that fighting is not going to bring them victory is, unfortunately, for them to be defeated in another war. Because the previous defeats has not yet convinced them that fighting is not the way out. So, unfortunately, continuing the war is the only way to eventually get them to this point, for them to realize there has to be another way. Go on, Anna, you have a point.
Yeah, I want to say that what is important is not who was evicted in the past, who stayed. It's not important right now. What is important is that there are two groups right now, and I mean Hamas and Israel, okay? I mean specifically Hamas. And Hamas, they will never reconcile, because they want a war with Israel, an eternal war with Israel, until it ceases to exist. Like, one side here wants the complete destruction of the other side, while the other side, Israel, it wants peace. Okay? In all the wars that Israel did, eventually it got a peace treaty, because Israel wants peace more, much more than it wants war. And I think a lot of the reasons why Israel was unprepared for this attack of Hamas is because Israel tried to avoid war for such a long time. Like, nearly every year or two, we have here some fighting with rockets firing from Gaza. And I grew up in this reality. I grew up with these rockets. And, like, I live in the center of Israel, so they don't fire to the center as much. But people who live in the south, they barely have any time to get to safety. And they suffered for such a long time from these rockets, from these attacks by Hamas. And Hamas targets civilians deliberately. The difference between Israel and Hamas is that Hamas knows that military towards military, it's much weaker than Israeli military. So its targets are only civilians. They are targeting mainly civilians by their rockets and terrorist attacks. While Israel does the opposite. It tries not to target civilians. Yet Hamas uses its own civilians as human shields. It fires their rockets from hospitals and schools and residential buildings. This is the main difference.
Right. So, great point. I want to add 2 points here. But before I do that, let me read some super chats. Maya saying, Armin stating logical facts. Thank you, Maya. I always do that. And 6 shekels from Israel. Thank you so much. Thank you for boosting my ego. Gajan American, thank you so much, saying there are many Chinese people who want their property back from the communists. Thank you so much, Gajan American, for the super chat. And Hajj, Hajj just became a member. Thank you so much, Hajj, for becoming a member. Appreciate that. All right, so here's the thing. So first of all, Anna, what you said is correct. But the problem is even bigger than just Hamas. Other than Hamas, unfortunately, many Palestinians who are not even Hamas, even though some of them who don't like Hamas, have been convinced that the situation that they're in, the problematic situation that they're in, the misery that they're experiencing every day, the way to get out of it is by fighting. And they have been brainwashed and convinced that this is the solution out of the situation. And honestly, if it was, it would be justified for them to fight. Even if Israel is in the right, if you're suffering so much, if your life is so miserable, and if by fighting you had the chance to come out of that misery, I would be like, you know what? You're right. You should fight. You should wage war because you're in a horrible situation. And by fighting, if you could get out of it, then go on, fight. But they've been sold a lie by Hamas, by the Islamic Republic of Iran, and unfortunately by many leftists. The fighting is not the way out of your misery. The reason why other Arab countries are not living under the same situation that Gaza is right now is because they're out of that fighting. The reason why just compare the situation between the West Bank, the lifestyle in West Bank, and the lifestyle in Gaza. Why is one of them better? I mean, West Bank is still not as good as some other places that it could be. It's still not as good as, you know, but why is it better? Because one of them has more Hamas. West Bank also has Hamas. That's why the situation is not ideal as well. But why is Gaza worse? Because Gaza has more Hamas. So obviously more fighting gets you worse outcome. That needs to be somehow shown to them. And unfortunately, if talking and convincing doesn't get that reality so obvious to people, unfortunately, the only way to show that is by more buildings coming down. Again, this is horrible. But this is the only way out of this endless war. I mean, look at Germany. Do you know why eventually the West had peace? Other Western European countries and the United States had peace with Germany? Because Germany was completely defeated and crushed. And again, it has a lot of civilian casualties and a lot of tragedy and a lot of misery, including children. But the only way for that war to end was for Germany to be crushed and defeated. That's why the war had to continue. Sometimes the only way to bring peace is with war. The only way to bring peace between the rest of the world and Nazi Germany was with war with Germany, was with defeating Germany. How did we have peace with Japan? You know, you think that right now we look at a lot of Muslims and we look at their ideology and we look at how unreasonable and radical it is. But guess what? Imperial Japan was the same. They invented suicide bombing, to be honest, right? It wasn't the Muslims who invented this. The whole they were radicals. They were doing suicide left and right. They were like, you know, they believed the emperor was God. They were going kamikaze with their planes. They were doing killing themselves with swords and grenades instead of being arrested. They were insane. They were ready to sacrifice their entirety of Japan and not end the war. But they were crushed. They saw how mighty their enemies were, and they were like, okay, yeah, we give up. That's it. And it brought peace. The crushing of Japan brought peace. And look at Japan and Germany now. They got convinced that, okay, we're not going to, you guys win, we surrender, you guys have clearly showed us that we cannot fight you. And look at Germany. Germany is now the biggest economy in Europe. You know, they surrender. Surrender is not always a bad thing, unlike what Ali Dawa is trying to tell you. Like, oh, what do you expect us to do? Just like, oh, just forget history and say, put our hands in the air and just accept reality? Yes! Yes, that's what you should do. You should realize that United States and Israel are too strong. They're just too strong. Even if they were evil, even if United States and Israel were evil, they're too strong. You're not going to defeat them. Just surrender. Look what surrendering brought to Germany. They're the biggest economy in Europe. Look what surrendering brought to Japan. They're the third biggest economy in the world right now. Surrendering, I know it hurts your ego. I know Islam strong. We're the armies, lions of Allah. We can't like accept surrender. I know this ego makes it hard for you to swallow this fact that you're weak. You're pathetic. You have nothing. Okay? Islamic countries all together are not going to be able to defeat even Europe, let alone United States. You have nothing going for you. You have to submit. I know your egos. This is the problem. Your egos, your pride, well, it's your undoing. It will make you suffer more. The fact that you have this much pride will make you not see the reality that you are pathetically weak compared to your enemies. So stop making your enemies. You have chosen the wrong enemies. You have chosen superpowers as your enemies. This is a recipe for continuous defeat. How many wars are you supposed to lose? How many of your own children, are suffering because of your ego? Because you can't just accept that it's over. You're not an Islamic empire anymore. It's over. It's a new era. There are other empires around. There are other world powers around. You just have to accept the new reality and just make deal with the realities on the ground. Your civilians are paying the heavy price for your ego because you want to be a mighty empire. You're not going to be. Oh my God. All right, Anna, you want to say something? Sorry, this was a long rant.
Yeah, Zaid wrote here a comment that Jordan was at war with Israel, but they chose peace, and now the quality of life improved in Jordan. And yeah, I mean, every country that chooses peace over war is flourishing more. Like, look at Iran, okay? It spends so much money on terrorism, on spreading terrorism across the Middle East. I mean, in Syria, Iraq, Hamas, of course, in Gaza. And the people, they are miserable, the people in Iran. So yeah, war brings a lot of misery. Even if you don't fight directly, it crushes your economy. It crushes your public relations with Western countries, with progressive countries.
Yes. So there's some super chat. Sina saying he is not personally paying the price, so he doesn't care. Exactly, Sina. He gives into this narrative of continuing to fight because the Palestinian people have to pay the price for it. Ali Dawa doesn't have to pay the price for it. Again, that's why I'm saying the people who act like they support Palestine, they're the curse upon the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people have to somehow realize that fighting Israel, even if Israel was evil, even if it was pure evil, it's an evil that you will not be able to defeat. There's no end for you in this fight. By the way, Israel is not evil. I'm just saying, even if you accepted that. And then we got another super chat from Adam saying, happy birthday, dude. Don't blow a fuse. Okay, thank you so much, Adam. And thank you. Yeah, my birthday is the same as Jesus. That's why that's why I started the Atheist Republic, guys. I was jealous that Jesus has stolen on my birthday. Jesus gets all the attention. So I waged the war on God to somehow maybe my birthday matters more than him on December 25th. Queen is saying, it's still amazing. Thank you for the super chat, Queen. It still amazes me how these people spew and believe their own lies, and they always insult people with names. Highly intelligent, aren't they? Yes. Great point. Thank you so much for the super chat. Omar just gave us another super sticker. Thank you so much, Omar, for supporting the show. Actually, let me see I want to check, make sure if we're monetized or not, because these streams usually get demonetized. Let me check if this stream has been demonetized. No, this stream has not been demonetized yet. So far, so good. Surprisingly, that's good. Thank you, YouTube. Roy with the super chat, 6 shekels from Israel. I like the shekels. Thank you so much, Roy, saying, Armin, this monologue of yours need to be viral. Oh, wow. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. I just wanted to highlight two comments that is, are not super chats. Unicorn saying Gaza could look like Dubai if only they'd accept peace. The problem, Unicorn, is that peace means surrender, and surrendering hurts their ego. So, yeah, the only way to peace for them is to surrender and accept the reality that they're not going to be able to defeat Israel and the United States. It's not going to happen. But because that means surrendering is not so manly, is it, though? It's not very strong looking, all right? But look at how strong Japan and Germany is. They are right now. They're strong because they surrendered. I accept the fact that surrendering sometimes is the best thing for your people, right? And here's an interesting point. Ramtin is saying, Armin, there wouldn't be Palestinians if they surrendered. It has nothing to do with ego. Well, maybe it's a good thing if there was no Palestinians, because Palestinian is an identity that was created only recently. When I say no Palestinian, I'm not talking about the people. I'm talking about the identity. The Palestinian identity is quite recent, and it only exists as a response to the Israeli identity. You understand that we had no such thing as a Palestinian identity. There was a place called Palestine. It was not a nation state, and people did not associate with the Palestinian identity until Israel became a thing. And it was a reaction. It was a reaction to that. Palestine was the name of a region that was named by Romans. And the reason why they call it Philistine instead of Palestine, because the name of the place, which was Palestine, that the Romans gave it to spite the Jews, right? The actual name was not pronounceable by the Arabs because they don't have the per word. So the name of the place is something that it doesn't even fit the Arabic language. And you think Palestinian, being Palestinian, is native? You can't even pronounce the P. You don't even have the P sound for the place of the land in your language. And you think that's the native name of the land? That's the name that the Romans gave. It's the Roman. It's the name of another empire. You're acting like the Jews are doing imperialism and colonialism. The Palestine name was given by the imperialists who were Romans to that land because they hated Jews. The entire name Palestine is an anti-Jewish name. They took the name, the Romans, they took the name Israel, they changed it to Palestine because they hated the Jews. The name Palestine is an anti-Jewish name, and it's not even Arab. You don't have a P sound. That's why you call it Palestine. You don't have to sound P in Arabic. It's not an Arabic thing. God damn it, you guys. It's embarrassing. Your identity, the entire thing is embarrassing. Like, oh, it wouldn't be a Palestinian. Yeah, it wouldn't be. Okay, the identity of that people of that place was Arab and Muslim. It wasn't Palestinian. This is a new thing. The identity Palestinian is not even 70 years old. God. Oh my God.
By the way, I find it really ironic that people who are so much against European colonialism gave themselves a name that Europeans gave them. Like they didn't come up with an Arab name.
No. It's so not Arabic that it uses sounds that is not even in the Arabic language. Oh God, it's so embarrassing. It's so easy. It's so easy to crush you guys. Like, oh, we're anti-imperialists. We have this identity that is anti-imperialist. Your name is given to you by an empire that is not native to that land. You idiots. Oh God. By the way, mind you, not that we don't want a Palestinian country. I personally want a Palestine to be a country, not because it's the native identity of that place or because you guys were there. It's because it would be better for you guys to be able to have your own country and decide your own destiny and have your own elections. I support having a Palestinian nation state. You don't have, Palestine was never a country. It was never a country. It was never a nation state. It was never a nationality. It was never an identity. It was never a national identity until it was a reactionary response to an Israeli identity, right? That's how it started. But even though it has no history, it doesn't matter because you don't need thousands of years of history for something to make sense right now. Even if Palestine was not an identity before, it can't be now. See how we don't have to appeal to history to come up with solutions that make sense now based on the current reality on the ground right now? You keep like, oh, look, this place was a country named Palestine. No, the whole concept of a nation state is a modern invention. What are you talking about? This place was never a country. It was the Ottoman Empire. It was Arabs living here back then, and you had a Muslim identity. These were the things. But yeah, Palestinian identities, you want that? Well, we can make that. We can make that if we have peace. If you stop waging war against Israel, you don't need a historical background to make Palestine a new reality. Even though it was not an old reality, we can make it a new reality because that would be a good solution. That would be a good solution right now. We could have Israel and Palestine as a country, a new country. Finally, if you stop fighting, finally, it could be a country as Israel's neighbor. You know, maybe one day a friendly neighbor, maybe. Maybe in my lifetime we'll see that. I don't know.
And say, you know what? Do yoga and say, yes, you know what? I embrace my destiny and just accept it. Are you a flipping clown? Are you stupid?
No, just keep fighting. Let's see. No, you know what? You've tried. Just accept it. No, Ali Dava, tell the Palestinian people who are being crushed because they accepted this advice of continuing to fight. Let them continue. Let's try the thing that hasn't worked for multiple decades and got them more misery. How about we keep trying that instead, huh? How about we keep trying that, see where that gets us? God damn it. Like, look at where they are right now. What has gotten them to where they are right now? Fighting. Should we try that again? Should we try defeating Israel and its best buddy, a superpower? How will we try that?
Are you idiotic? No. What kind of an individual are you? Anyone for that matter is going to resist. And you yourself, forget your house. If the Muslim armies was to come to the United States or any army for Russia, for example, and was taking over land, what would you do? And let's forget Muslim armies and Russia for a second. Let's say Israel, I don't know where you live. Let's say you live in Florida.
Actually, let's go by his example, okay? Like Russia, let me just make this point. Let's say if Russians were attacking United States now to take over United States, okay? Should United States resist? Yes. Yes, they should resist. But let's say they lost and Russia took over, right? And Russia is now has United States. And that's the new reality on the ground. And this generation dies. And the new generation of Americans is born under Russian as a country, okay? Russia owns this land now, okay? And things are improving. Things were bad at first. It was war. But now things are, you know, accepting the new reality. And Russia is giving you, you know, peace. And there's now less conflict. And that occupation and that act of occupation was from the previous generation. And now there is no way for you to, this Russian empire that also owns the United States, you look at the reality and you can't defeat them, okay? Should you continue fighting the Russians or should you just accept the new reality on the ground and figure out a way to prosper in this new reality, okay? So here's what he doesn't understand. He thinks that just because it makes sense to fight the Russians when they're attacking, does it also make sense to continue fighting the Russians in a couple of other generations after if it's shown that this is the new reality on the ground and Russia is now a superpower that you cannot defeat? Should you continue fighting the Russians after that, generation after generation after generation? No, you should stop fighting at some point and accept the new reality of the Russians owning the United States at that point. That is what Bill Maher is saying. That's what you don't understand. When counter to him, you give an example which deals with reality now. If the Russians are attacking now, yes, now you should defeat them. You should try to resist that, but you shouldn't do that endlessly forever. Go on, Anna.
And the The worst part is that he implements this logic, this kind of logic, only towards Israel, well, against Israel, and doesn't implement this when it comes to Muslim countries. So by his logic, Berbers in North Africa should fight the Arabs for eternity until the Berbers win and all Arabs are ceasing to exist or come back to Saudi Arabia, like by this guy's logic. By his yes. logic, also Italians should demand Istanbul back and fight for Constantinople. For like, let's make a movement, free Constantinople. How does it sound to you? Like, yeah, from
where is Ali Dawa from? Guys, where is Ali Dawa from? Is Ali Dawa from Pakistan? Because I think he's from Pakistan. Okay, because I know Arabic is not his native tongue. Muhammad Hijab's native tongue is Arabic because I think he's Egyptian, right? But Ali Dawa, I think he's from Pakistan. And here's the thing, Ali Dawa, if he's from Pakistan, I think he's from Pakistan. But if you're from Pakistan, I'm coming from your country, for your country. I'm coming because Pakistan, it belongs to the Persian Empire. Okay, we're coming for Pakistan. We're coming for Afghanistan. I mean, should Persians right now be fighting to take Afghanistan back? Should we be fighting to get Pakistan? Should we get Iraq? Me as an Iranian, should I be claiming like, okay, Iraq? I understand that it's now an official nation state and is officially recognized an independent legal country. But should I, as an Iranian, say like, hey, well, this was our land and we're going to invade Iraq and make it part of the Persian Empire again? People are saying Turkey.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I just Googled it and it seems like he's from Turkish Kurdish descent. So please, Ali Dawa, the Italians, they want Constantinople back. Please, they want Constantinople, free Constantinople. Yeah.
Free Constantinople. Yeah. Oh, God. We got some super chats. Queen saying, happy birthday, Lord Armin. Wow, I like the sound of that. Okay, from now on, I'm Lord Armin. So Queen is saying, happy birthday, Lord Armin. Loving the stream and seeing you lose your shit. Don't blow a blood vessel. Love you both. Thank you so much, Queen. Well, I don't know why you're telling me not to blow a blood vessel. You just told me that you like me losing my shit, so why should I stop doing that? But thank you so much for the support, guys. Your support mean a lot to us. Thank you so much. This is really helping us continue with our channel. Gage in American is saying, tell that to the Japanese nationalists and civil war reenactors. Yes, I think even in Japan, I think there are some people who think like Ali Dawa right now. And Gajan American with another super chat. Thank you so much, Gajan American, saying, what if the Russians created an oppressive caste system with very little means to get justice? Yeah, in that case, it would make sense maybe to resist. Okay, it would make sense to resist. But if that's a good point, right? The current, for example, situation, some people are saying, okay, Armin, but current situation in Gaza is really, really bad. So maybe the Palestinians should continue fighting as a form of resistance to the current horrible situation that they're having. But what I'm trying to say is that their horrible situation would not be is horrible because of their fighting. And we have evidence for that. Because of, look at how other places where they're not fighting, their situations improved drastically as soon as they stopped fighting. Right? So this is not oppression and therefore fighting to fight oppression. This is fighting and the other side is trying to respond as an act of self-defense. And that's why you're suffering, because the other side is trying to defend itself. Go on, Anna.
Like, I want to ask you a question. Who is oppressing the Gazians? There are no Israelis living there. There is no Israeli army there. Like, in times of peace, of course, there are no Israeli cops there. There is no Israeli building. No Israeli is going into Gaza. So who is suppressing them? Like before the war, they had a great life, and now it's not. No, they had miserable life also before the war. They should free themselves first of all from their internal oppressors, which is Hamas. Hamas is the one who is using all the money coming to Gaza to build tunnels, to build rockets, to wage war against Israel. The Hamas is the oppressor of Gazians. It's the first oppressor of Gazians.
Right. I mean, Israel decided to listen to the international community and pull out of Gaza. They took the Jews out of Gaza by force, okay? This was before the blockade, okay? And they had election, and who was elected? A group of people that said that they want to wipe out Israel and all the Jews. And people call it a blockade, but it's technically a border wall. I mean, every country has a right to build a wall, you know, and its neighbor who is promising to annihilate you. People are like, oh, there's a blockade. This is an open-air prison. I mean, I have a border. I'm a country. The people in that country, the people in that state have, in that land, have decided to elect a state, elect a government that tells openly that wants to annihilate me. Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's my responsibility as my government, as a government, to build a wall against the neighbor that wants to destroy me. So does that make it effectively, does that surround them? Well, yes, because of the geography of the situation. But I, as a country, have the responsibility to build a wall. Guess who else decided to do the same thing? Egypt. Egypt decided to do the exact same thing because they were looking at Gaza and they were like, holy crap, these people are radicals. So the same reason that Israel decided to build a wall, Egypt was looking at the same people and were like, yeah, we agree. We're going to build a wall too. And we're going to make sure that nothing goes through it. At least nothing that threatens us. Maybe like one way, right? So both Egypt and Israel come to the same conclusion. They were protecting. I mean, how dare you? How dare you tell a country to say you don't have the right to build a wall on your border against a neighbor that wants to annihilate you? Like, oh, why are you surrounding them? I mean, I'm sorry that the other side is a goddamn sea, but what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to defend my country. They're telling me that they want to annihilate me. Does this make their situation worse? Yeah. Does this put them under a blockade that make them suffer under poverty? Yes. But who did this to them? Did I do this to them that I'm trying to protect my country with a border wall? Or did the government that is telling openly to everybody that wants to annihilate me, who brought this misery upon the Gazan people? It's Hamas. It's Hamas all the way. Anyways, let's go with this.
I also want to add that...
Okay, go ahead.
Before the war, it wasn't a total blockade because people were given work permits in Israel in order to improve the economical state in Gaza. And also people were treated in Israeli hospitals when the condition, their condition was too grave and hard. So there wasn't a full blockade. And the less Hamas was fighting, right, the more open it became. Gaza became more and more open as Hamas was fighting less. But nowadays they fight, and nowadays nothing is going through the border. So they are responsible for this blockade. If they don't fight, there will be a lot of more freedom of movement.
That's actually a great point, because like the only time when you have anything that resembles a blockade is a reaction to what Hamas does. And when you have anything resembling flow of goods and services, is because Israelis are trying to find ways to increase the economic activity for people in Gaza for both peace purposes and humanitarian reasons, right? So if you see any economic activity increasing in Gaza, it's because Israelis are trying to increase it. And if you say economic activity being reduced in Gaza, it's because Hamas is making it impossible for Israel not to defend itself. And you're right. When people say like, well, the situation is bad, so they have to fight. Well, every time they fight, the situation gets worse. If when you have long periods of not fighting, you see Israelis trying to come up with a solution to improve the lives of people in Gaza. That's why we had thousands of work permits being given to people in Gaza to come to Israel to work, to make money, to bring it back to Gaza, trying to improve the life of people in Gaza. That's what Israel was trying to do. And now that stopped. That's all stopped. All of that economic activity stopped because Hamas attacked on October 7th. So what is bringing more misery? It's not Israel. And the fighting is not reducing the misery. The fighting of Hamas is increasing the misery.
So your act of resistance is resisting what? You're resisting prosperity. You're not resisting occupation. You're resisting peace. You're resisting prosperity and any form of happiness for your own people. You're resisting the future of your children. That's what you're resisting. You're not resisting occupation. You're resisting freedom. You're resisting a better future for your people. That's what you're resisting. What would you do? And let's forget Muslim armies in Russia for a second. Let's say Israel, I don't know where you live. Let's say you live in Florida. Let's say Israel came and said, this land is promised to us in our holy lands, in our holy scriptures. We are taking over. And they slowly, slowly kick out Americans from their land. Do you think America will be as welcome as they are to what Israel's doing to the Palestinians? No,
they should fight. They should fight. I agree. But if Israel succeeds to take over America, and now Israel, United States is under Israel, and it has been a generation has passed, and now we have a new reality, they should accept, Americans should accept that this now is Israel's land. You should stop fighting. Continuous fighting will not, and initially, when they're forcing you, you should resist that. You should resist the initial act of brutality and occupation. But once the new reality sets, what happened, that act of occupation, that act of takeover is now past. It's now history. You have to now think about what is the best solution going forward. Again, you trying to settle scores, that has not worked out for you. Trying to settle scores does not work out for anybody.
We won't. They would not only resist, they would resist of the idea. If Israel made an announcement and said, we are taking over Florida and you guys are going to be kicked.
How does he not understand that his analogy does completely misses the point of Bill Maher? The whole point of Bill Maher was that was history and now we have new reality. And every single one of his examples is missing the point. He's talking, he gives examples. Would you resist it while the occupation is happening? While the attack is happening, will you resist it? Do you not understand? Oh, Bill Maher, he says, right? Look at the level of arrogance. At the beginning, he was like, oh, Bill Maher, this Bill Maher is such an idiot. And now you're giving examples that demonstrates how big of a fool you are. Every single one of his, your examples does not show a situation where something happened in the past and now we're dealing with new realities.
Doubt. It's going to be an apartheid state. We'll commit genocide here and there, lowering the mourn here and there, yeah, just to keep you guys.
Oh, go on, Anna. Sorry, I didn't notice what you're saying.
Like, the only state in the Middle East where it is a democracy and full rights are given to Arabs and they can vote. And theoretically, an Arab can even become president, right? Like they have their political party and they can be whatever they want. They can be doctors. They can work freely. Like this state, okay, this so-called occupation is actually better than a lot of Arab countries. So like Arabs here live in prosperity. Arabs here that don't fight, that just want to live well, they do live well. They do. They live much better than Arabs in Iraq, than Arabs in Syria, than Arabs in Sudan, than Arabs in Egypt, which is almost normal country, than Arabs in Jordan. Tell me one Arabic state where there is democracy, where there is a freedom of speech like here in Israel, where there is complete equality between men and women. Tell me one Arab state like this.
So, right. So actually, this is a very good.
I would prefer living in Israel than living in, I don't know, in any other Arab country than living in Egypt.
Got it. So here's a good point actually that Anna is making. So we have three groups of people. If you want to see if where fighting gets you, right? The people in Gaza, the Arabs in Gaza, the Arabs in West Bank, and the Arabs that are citizens of Israel. Let's compare how well each one of them is living, right? With the level of fighting, right? So Gaza is showing the most resistance, and they're the worst off. People in West Bank are living much better lives than people in Gaza because there's less resistance, there's less fighting. There's less fighting against Israel. There's still some fighting against Israel, but less fighting. This seems their lives, to be better. Look at the Arabs. Hold on, let me make this point. Look at the Arabs in Israel, right? The Arabs in Israel, as Anna pointed out, they're now fully, they're full citizens of Israel. And unlike, and they are having better rights and better freedoms and better lifestyles. Well, not better lifestyles compared to some Arabs in UAE and Saudi Arabia, but better, more rights and more freedoms than any Arab in the, any Arab country. More rights and freedoms than any Arab in any other Arab country. How, so you can see that not fighting gets you more rights, more freedoms. So if you think that you're living under occupation, look at the Arabs who are not fighting, who are not resisting. Is that not actual evidence of where not fighting gets you? And again, this idiot, in the, there's somebody in the live chat saying, stop lying, so telling Anna to stop lying. Jewish people, only Jewish people are allowed to own houses. That's a lie. That's nonsense. Arabs in Israel, Arabs, go look it up. You guys kept on telling me this. I actually had to go. I was like, what are you talking about? I went and checked the laws. There's no such thing. In Israel, Arabs have every right to own house, and they do own houses and buy houses and own houses. You're full of crap. The law does not say that. In fact, guys, let me tell you, Israel's laws is actually not equal between Arabs and Jews. It is true. The Arabs have more rights in Israel than Jews. The Arabs in Israel have the right legally not to serve in the military. Most Jews, other than those crazy ultra-Orthodox ones, but most Jews in Israel don't have that right. They have to serve in the military. So technically, according to the law, according to what's the law, Arabs have more rights and freedoms than Jews in Israel. Everything else is equal. Everything else is equal except this. Go on, Anna.
And a lot of people say that what is going in the West Bank is an apartheid of Israel and so on. And they complain on the checkpoints that people are forced, in order to work inside Israel, are forced to wait there for a long time. But why there are checkpoints? Like, why Israel put so much effort into having these checkpoints? Because people in the West Bank did terrorist attacks inside the territory of Israel in the past. The checkpoints are needed because of terrorism threat. Because if somebody is threatening your citizens, you must do whatever you can in order to stop it. So the checkpoints exist for a reason. A lot of the things are existing for a reason. And yeah, I'm against the settlements in the West Bank, but I'm not against the checkpoints, okay? There is a border between Mexico and America, and I'm sure they have checkpoints as well for Mexicans who are working in America. So right. what is the difference? Yeah.
But Anna, there is apartheid against Palestinians. There is, okay? But in Lebanon, okay, as Zaid is pointing out, that Palestinians who have been living in Lebanon since 1948, they don't have the right to own a house in their name. And there's also 50 jobs that they're not allowed to do. So you're right, there is apartheid against Palestinians, okay? But not in Israel, in Lebanon. God damn it, this is too easy. This is too, thank you so much, Zaid, for mentioning that. But go on.
And also I want to say to you, that technically the laws are all equal, right? So an Arab can become a president in Israel, but a Jew can't become a president in any other country around the Arab world, anywhere. Like, there is this apartheid actually against Jews in Arab countries, because Jews can't become presidents in Arab countries, but an Arab can.
Yeah, well, technically they can't even live in Palestine. But we got 6 super chats, so that's a lot of super chats. That's amazing, guys. Thank you so much for all the support. SFL is saying, where does Hamas get the money, if I think? Oh, Mo? Ni? What is this? Neymar's buy weapons. Love you too. Okay, so I don't know what you're saying, but where did they get the money? I think where they buy the weapons from. Where did they get the? Okay, so they get the money from mostly from the Islam. The weapons and the ways for them to get the weapons from the Islamic Republic of Iran. Unfortunately, it is true that is Netanyahu also has been supporting Hamas, which is why I'm against Likud and Netanyahu. Again, I'm pro-Israel, I'm a Zionist, but I'm against Netanyahu, and I'm against the Likud party and the two other far-right parties that are now in the coalition. So that, unfortunately, there are Netanyahu has allowed bags of money to come from Qatar all the way to Hamas. So there's that too. That's a reality that we have to mention on this show. But go on. But Anna?
Yeah. So basically the main sources are... Oh.
Yeah.
Can I just mention this quickly? The main sources are Iran, Qatar, and international help, donations as well.
Right. And private entities and Netanyahu. Let's also make sure that we add him to that, which I hope the Israeli people do the right thing and get rid of this guy as soon as this war is over. I don't know how to pronounce your Rex with a super chat saying, geez, Armin, your brain's going to pop out. No, don't worry. My brain is completely. But thank you so much for your concern and for your super chat. Idris is saying, Vosh, very anti-Israel recently. Would you debate? Yeah, sure. If you could get him to talk to me, yeah, I would debate him. But thank you so much for the super chat. But go tell him to come and debate me. He's probably not going to, though. SFL with the super chat, with the 699 super chat saying, where does Hamas get the money to buy weapons? Oh, this is the same question. Love you too. Love all my atheist friends here. Yeah, so the money, we already answered that. But yeah, thank you for the super chat. And then we got another super chat here. Franklin saying, that guy is a perfect example of Dunning-Kruger effect. Yes, very good point. Thank you so much, Franklin. And I got another super chat from Gajan American saying, Armin, I've grown up with American propaganda. The answer to an American defeat is usually time travel. The show V portrays self-deletion positively. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, thank you. That's the American way. Time travel is the American way to fix everything. Angry Keyboard Warrior, thank you so much for the super chat saying, college kids be like, from the river to the sea, and they say, ceasefire now. Yes, that's a contradiction. From the river to the sea, and they ask for ceasefire. Yeah, from the river to the sea is an asking for an act of genocide, and you ask for ceasefire, while at the same time asking for genocide. Amazing. Go on, Anna.
Armin, you don't understand it. It's not a contradiction because they are asking the Jews not to resist, while they are being massacred. Like this is what they are asking. Exactly. Not Hamas to make a ceasefire. For the Jews to just stop resisting for anything,
All right, let's continue this video or else we're never going to finish it.
Over Florida. And you guys are going to be kicked out. It's going to be an apartheid state. We'll commit genocide here and there, lowering the morn here and there, just to keep you guys in check. We're going to be doing this, kidnapping your kids, all this kind of stuff. Don't resist. Do you really believe any human being on planet Earth should go and submit to this kind of requirements? Never. They would resist. And they have that.
They have, though, you moron. They have. Germany did, Japan did, Egypt did, Jordan did. What do you mean they would never? I mean, do you not? He's like, look at this. It's like, they would never. They have, and they're better off because of it.
Damn right. They have the damn right to resist. And the UN has clearly said any nation that's been occupied by the occupiers has a right to armed defense. Yes, armed resistance.
Dude, the same United Nations doesn't consider this occupation. The United, like, what are you talking about?
As it clearly said,
look at this.
They would resist, and they have a damn right. They have the damn right to resist. And the UN has clearly said any nation that's been occupied by the occupiers has a right to armed defense. Yes.
Okay, first of all, You're not even a nation. So what are you talking about? See, every nation. Okay, but this is not a nation. You don't have a nation yet. You should become a nation if you stop fighting. And also, the United Nations that you're mentioning doesn't consider this a nation yet. It's trying to make it a nation. You're not a nation. And it doesn't consider Gaza to be an act of occupation right now. They were not occupying Gaza. What are you talking about? You're talking about Israel's... So by the way, when he says occupation, he's talking about the existence of Israel as a whole. So if you're not talking about the West Bank settlements, because you're like, oh, Armin, West Bank settlements are occupation and against international law. Yes, but this guy is talking, the act of occupation that he's referring to is the entirety of Israel. That's not an occupation. The same United Nations that you're referring to doesn't consider that an act of occupation. It's a legitimate country. It's legal. It has the right to exist, and it has the right to defend itself against hostile activities like from Hamas.
It's armed resistance. They have that right. It's as simple as that. So the Palestinians have a right to resist. So,
hey, somebody's saying, why is Israel not a nation? I didn't say Israel is not a nation. I said Palestine is not a nation yet. I hope one day it becomes a nation once they stop fighting.
The point is what? You double standard hypocrite. Be just, but you can't be. Because the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us a day will come, liars like you. Yes? Liars like you would come up. A person who tells the truth will be seen as a liar. And the one who says a lie will be seen as telling the truth. But Bill, a day is going to come when your soul is going to be taken out of your body. And if you haven't repented, the following things are going to be uttered to you by the angels. Come out to the wrath of your Lord. And that day is a day you will never, ever forget for the rest of your life.
By the way, religion gives you a license to threaten people with violence and torture without getting being against community guidelines and against the law. Right? The only way you could threaten people with violence, with torture, okay, and get away with it is by being religious, and that means of torture being hellfire. In any other context, this would be against community standards, and it could even be illegal. But because I believe in magic, all of a sudden my version of threatening people with torture becomes okay.
Not the life of this life, of the hereafter. Yeah. Shame on you, you double standard hypocrite. If Palestinians was to do the same thing to the Israelis, the whole entire world would lose their mind. It just shows you, like Allah tells us in the Quran, you guys are nothing but allies to one another. You do not care about the Muslim or the Palestinian blood. But alhamdulillah,
you do. You care about the Palestinian blood. You, the people who tell them to continue fighting a hopeless war, a war that keeps getting them into more misery, you who keep telling us that it's great, the Palestinian people are in a great situation because their suffering brings them closer to God, because their death brings them glory, because they are victorious. If they win, they're victorious in this life, but if they lose, they're victorious in the other life. You're celebrating their misery. You're telling us that their misery is bringing attention to the evil of Zionism. So it's good that they're uniting the Muslims. You yourself admit that their misery is uniting Muslims. So you celebrate their misery. You celebrate their death. And you tell us that we're anti-Palestinian? No, Ali Dava. You are anti-Palestinian. We are pro-Palestinian. We are pro-Israel. And we're pro-Palestinian. That's why we give the Palestinians the right advice to stop fighting, to surrender, to accept the new realities. It's better for you. It's better for your future. Fighting has gotten you nowhere. We are pro-Palestinian. You're anti-Palestinian.
They are amazing.
Oh, we got super chats. No, we got one super chat. So Queen is giving us another super chat saying, "Thy get money from the international NGO." Oh, okay. So they get their money from, guys, why are you writing cryptic messages? It's hard for me to read. They get money from international NGOs and from Western world. Well, yeah, but that too, you're right, Queen, but mostly I would say from the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's the vast majority of it comes from the Islamic Republic of Iran. This is why you will not have peace and stability in the Middle East as long as the Islamic Republic of Iran is a thing, okay? As long as that government is still standing, you will not have peace in the Middle East. You will not. You will have the Houthis. You will have Hezbollah. You will have Hamas. You have Islamic Jihad. You have Kitab al-Hezbollah. You have all of these other militia groups constantly being supported by Yab Fatimiyun in Afghanistan. You have destability all around the region. And so the best way for you to support peace is to support the Iranian people against the Islamic Republic of Iran. That's the best pathway to peace, because you're never going to find any solutions to most of these problems with the Islamic Republic of Iran still intact. But let's continue.
Seeing non-Muslims out there who've head to the streets, who've started petitions, who've done all kinds of things to help the Palestinians, there are goodness and goodness in them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and guide them to Islam. Till next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, brothers and sisters.
What?
Do not forget, inshallah, there is a link in the description box for a waqf that we are building to buy a property that's going to generate income for Gaza and the people of Palestinians, inshallah, and activism.
By Gaza, it means Hamas. Finally, he did something for that. He at least pretends that he's doing for something for Gaza. Go on. And let's do this fast because we're heading to the next stream pretty soon.
Yeah, I think whatever he's trying to do to support the Palestinians is actually probably harming them more. Whatever I would do in order to support them is to show the world how Hamas is taking the food that's coming through humanitarian supply, how Hamas also kidnapped Muslims, how Hamas is dealing with Palestinians that speak against Hamas. Please, like, show the world. Who is the real oppressor here? Israel isn't in Gaza. Israel took every single Jew outside of Gaza many years ago. Yet the situation there didn't get any better after the Jews left. It got only worse. Why? Because Hamas is in power. This is the only reason.
Fantastic point. Yes, exactly. Okay, so we need to head out because we have another stream coming. Benny Wolf is, thank you for the super chat. Guys, today we got a lot of super chats. Thank you so much. This is amazing. This is going to make us be able to do more streams. Seriously, because of the super chats, we're doing more streams because it's making us, Atheist Republic, financially viable. So thank you, guys. So Benny is saying, worried about your blood pressure, Armin. Thank you for your passionate defense of rationality, truth, liberalism, and especially LGBTQ folks. Yeah, well, thank you for doing the same thing, Benny. I appreciate that as well. And Gio is pointing out that, Armin, don't forget your other live stream. Yes, so me and Anna, by the way, are going to go now to get prepared for our next stream, which is in Persian. On Atheist Republic has an English channel, but we also have other channels. Our other main channel is in Persian. Which is, our audience is mostly in Iran. 80% of our audience on the Persian channel is in Iran. If you speak Persian, hop over there. That channel is called Jomhuriye Bikhodayan, which basically means Atheist Republic in Persian. So hop over there. We're going to go streaming there pretty soon. So stream after stream, guys. We're working very hard. By the way, Anna speaks fluent Persian. That's why she's also a host over there. And thank you, guys, everybody. Okay, so here's one thing, guys. You don't have to support us financially. I mean, you can. That would be great. But there's also another way. There's a free way. There's a free way that you can support us. I'd like the stream. It's easy. It takes 1 second. Do it now. Everybody, don't go anywhere without liking the stream. The reason why our channel is growing is because so many of you are actually listening to me. I mean, maybe it feels like I'm threatening you. Maybe that's why it's working. But yeah, so your likes are help growing our channel faster than ever. And your comments, if you really want to help us extra without spending a single cent after the stream is over, make sure you leave a comment. Leave a comment and also recommend this video to as many people as possible, and recommend the channel, Atheist Republic. This channel needs to grow because me and Anna are making sense here, God damn it. And we need to, more people need to hear what we have to say. So recommend our channel and recommend our videos and help our channel grow. Right. So good. We should go. All right, guys. Bye. Mwah. See you next time.